I rejoiced to witness for the Lord and to help my friends and loved ones prepare for the soon coming of Jesus. Some of the more formal brethren, however, considered me too zealous.
And you must know, my dear, it is not quite seemly for one of your age and sex to be so active. A young girl should not be going around talking to people like you do.
But, ma'am, did not our Lord say, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations"? How dare I disobey?
From the way you have been pulling yourself forward, young lady, 'tis obvious that you are suffering from the sin of pride, because you have won so many people to Christ.
It is God whom I put forward, brother, and God has done the winning. I have merely been the messenger to tell people of God's love. Is that not what the Bible tells us to do?
It is all well and good to wish to serve the Lord, young Ellen, but you are too inexperienced to know how these things are done. You should wait and be guided by those who are older and experienced than yourself.
But, Elder, the time is so short. People must be warned. I cannot bear the thought of those I love perishing. I cannot wait.
Let come what would, I determine to please God and to live as one who expected the Savior to come and reward the faithful. In my simplicity, I expected my brethren and sisters in my home church would understand my feeling and rejoice with me that Jesus was about to return. One evening, my brother Robert and I attended a class meeting.
It was such a great relief to receive the blessing I had sought for so long. Now my joy is unbounded. It is wonderful to know my Redeemer is coming soon.
She sounds like another right.
You're right.
I look forward to his coming, that I may go home with him.
Now, Sister Ellen, wouldn't it be more pleasant to live a long life of usefulness, doing others good, than to have Jesus come speedily and destroy poor sinners?
Elder, I long for the coming of Jesus and the end of sin. Then all believers will enjoy sanctification forever, with no devil to tempt us and lead us astray. How wonderful that will be!
Well, I feel great joy in anticipating the millennium. Then the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The hour is late. Let us close this class with prayer.
Ellen, is it possible that we have been deceived in believing the Advent faith and hope? Ministers and professors of religion oppose it as bitterly as the elder did in class tonight. They say Jesus will not come for thousands and thousands of years.
Robert, I have not a doubt. The Advent message is the truth.
We are told that a tree is known by its fruits. And this belief has led us to seek the strength and grace only God can give.
That is so. I will never be turned from my convictions.
Me neither. We cannot afford to turn from the truth.
Not long afterward, Robert and I attended the class meeting again. I hoped that this time the members of the class would be more receptive when we told of the Lord's goodness. I was mistaken.
Sister Ellen, it is your turn to tell the class what Jesus means to you.
Since I've learned to know Jesus and have received him into my heart, I have a great peace and joy. The Lord has been so good and merciful to me. I look forward with the glad expectation of meeting my Redeemer soon. And because he is about to return, I seek earnestly for the sanctification of the Spirit of God.
You received sanctification through Methodism, through Methodism, sister, not through some erroneous idea of Mr. Miller.
But, Elder, it is not through Methodism that my heart has received this new blessing. It is from the truths I have learned about the personal appearing of Jesus to put an end to sin.
That will be enough, Ellen Harmon. Now sit down.
Robert spoke next, and some of the young people were quite moved, but others laughed and snickered. This was the last testimony I would bear in class with my Methodist brethren. About this time, the Adventists held meetings in Beethoven Hall in Portland, and our whole family attended. Oh, how exhilarating it was to ride in the sleigh with my father over to Cape Elizabeth. It was here that I heard Elder William Foy, a black Adventist preacher who had had two visions earlier that winter.
I will be all right, Father. If I can sit near the platform, I can breathe better there where the crowd doesn't press so close.
Why, bless you, child. You can sit right here on the bench next to me.
Thank you, ma'am. This is my father, Robert Harmon. I'm Ellen.
How do you do, Brother Harmon, Sister Ellen? I'm Ann Foy. It's my husband who's speaking tonight. We traveled up here from Boston, and William has told his visions all along the way.
It is a pleasure to meet you, Sister Foy. My whole family is eager to hear Elder Foy's experiences from his own lips. I see the service is about to begin. I'd better go find myself a seat.
Sister Ellen, I get very anxious every time my husband speaks. In fact, he has told me not to sit where he can see me because my agitation distracts him.
Why are you so anxious, Sister Foy?
There is so much prejudice against Adventists, you know, and especially against colored people. I fear someone may take against my husband for speaking in public and do him harm. Slave hunters might even kidnap him and sell him down south.
But how could they do that? Elder Foy was born free, wasn't he?
Yes, indeed, right here in Maine. But that won't help if he is kidnapped. A Negro is not allowed to testify in court against whites.
Dear Sister Foy! Oh, well, no wonder you are anxious.
Yes, but I do not want to distract William from his labors for the Lord. So, if I become too anxious, I will just duck my head behind you. Then he can't see how worried I am.
Innumerable multitudes stood before the flaming bar of judgment. Those who were righteous were changed and were admitted into a boundless place of great brightness. But those who had denied God and rejected his warnings, and all brothers and sisters, some of them I recognized as church members and ministers, but they were not spared. All sank below into darkness.
Elder Foy bore a remarkable testimony of the judgment. Night after night, as our family attended the meetings, we listened to Adventist ministers tell of the personal coming of our Lord. It was thought that Jesus would come sometime in 1843. The time seemed so short that I resolved to do all in my power to lead sinners into the light of God.
Oh, I wish there were something more I could do to warn people that Jesus is really coming soon.
Now, Ellen, you are not yet over your last bout of illness. You are very weak still. It wouldn't do for you to overstrain yourself.
Sarah's right, Ellen. You've done a lot already. Right now, you need to rest.
But surely there is something I can do right here at home. I know! I can save my money and buy tracts and books to be distributed.
Why, Ellen, that's the very thing. Beth and I will do it too, won't we, Beth? We can all use the money we earn helping Father make hats.
Oh, yes. It's a wonderful idea.
If only I could do something more than make the crowns of the hats. Then I could earn more money.
But the crowns are the easiest part. And sometimes you are so weak you can't even do that. If you try to do more, You'll only get sicker.
I suppose that's true. But at least I can knit stockings, even when I can't make hat crowns. That will help.
Ellen, you're just going to have to stay in bed today. You're much too weak to get up, even to knit.
But, Mother, I must work. I have to earn money for our mission project.
Not today. You're not getting out of bed.
Perhaps Ellen could work in bed, Mother. Then she can rest and earn money at the same time.
Oh, yes. Please, Mother, let me do that.
Well, we'll give it a try. I'll go get the yarn and knitting needles while Beth props you up. Ellen, I wish you would lay aside your knitting and rest. You must not strain your heart. You've not been able to get out of bed for days.
But that's just why I must not stop. If I quit doing even this little work, I will not be able to give any money for the cause of God.
Beth and I are ready to go buy the books now. Do you have your money ready, Ellen?
Yes, Sarah. Right here in this little box. There is so little. I've been able to earn only 25 cents a day.
That's a lot for one so sick. You've done a great job.
That's an amazing achievement.
Why, Ellen, you must have kept every cent you earned. Didn't you spend any of it at all?
No. I don't need frills and fancy dresses, and I think ornaments are vain. I would rather see my money go for the work of God.
The books and tracts we bought were placed in the hands of experienced persons to be distributed. Every leaf of the printed matter we purchased in this way was precious to me, for it was a messenger of light to the world, bidding them prepare for the great event near at hand. The salvation of souls was the burden of my mind.